This morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, From the Abyss. And today's message is based on Revelation chapters 8 and 9. But let us open with prayer. God of light and truth, You are beyond our grasp or conceiving. Before the brightness of Your presence, the angels veil their faces. With lowly reverence and adorning love, we acclaim Your glory and sing Your praise. For You have shown us Your truth and love in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. So turn now in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 8. And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a gold censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense and the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. There were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. And then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. It fell on a third of the rivers and the springs of the water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood. Many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels are about to send. So continuing on our journey through the book of Revelation, we will now cover the seventh seal. This is the final seal, and the extent of the writings of the scroll can now be made available, except when the long-awaited seal is open, nothing happens for a while. If we go back to what is happening in heaven and before the throne, we have had singing and praying and praising of God, and now we get from verse 1, and when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. In theater, this is known as a dramatic pause, to allow the audience to gather their thoughts and be prepared for what is to come. Now, the idea of a pause between the sixth and seventh seal is emphasized by the silence in heaven for about a half an hour. A half hour of silence is not long, but things seem long or short in their context. If I were to stop my sermon and remain silent for 10 minutes, it would seem like an eternity. Of course, the same is said when I actually speak the message. But since heaven is a place of constant praise and worship to God, and we see that in Revelation 4, 8 through 11, silence for about a half an hour is a long time. This may have been a movement of heavenly reflection and anticipation of what is to come, or more assumedly, the thought of God's ability to silence all of creation just so He can hear us. And verse 2 presents another problem, for it seems out of place. And many scholars put this verse just before verse 6, and that is where I'm going to place it, so we'll skip it for just a moment. Turning to verses 3 through 5, then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightning, and an earthquake. Now, incense has long been used in worship as a pleasing aroma to God and a visible sign of worship, one you can both smell and see. Prayer and incense are often associated in the Bible. The idea is that just as incense is precious, pleasant, and drifts to heaven, so do our prayers. So here, before anything happens at the opening of the seventh seal, the prayers of God's people come before the Lord God. As God's people pray for the resolution of all things, their prayers were touched by the fire from the altar in heaven and then thrown back down to earth. All things will not be resolved on this earth until judgment comes. And when the prayers of God's people come back to earth, they will bring the groundswell of judgment. With the prayers from the saints, but the censer is not weighed before the altar this time after filling it with fire. It is thrown in judgment to the earth, and thus begins the final judgment. Many have difficulty understanding why God would allow this, but we must place ourselves in the time this was written, where there was much persecution of the church. Great evil was being unleashed on the faithful, much like we are beginning to see in today's world. Never question the judgment of God, for he is incapable of error or mistake. His judgment is always just. This is followed by the signs of nature on full display. Now we will go to verse 2. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, to them were given seven trumpets. And then verse 6, so the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. According to Jewish tradition, there are seven angels who stand in God's presence. Apparently, based on this verse, that traditional idea was accurate. In the Old Testament, trumpets sounded the alarm for war and threw the enemy into a panic, or they simply called an assembly of God's people. These seven trumpets will sound as God's battle alarm during the Great Tribulation. But when the seventh seal was finally loosed, the end did not immediately come. It was set in motion the seven trumpets that would sound upon the earth. Now, without repeating these events with the trumpets, we have great destruction that affects up to a third of the world. The first four trumpets are events of nature, while the final three will be very supernatural. The destruction from these first four will be noticed, will cover a great area of earth and humanity. You will not be able to ignore God's acts. The first four trumpets also reveal the mercy of God's judgment. These are partial judgments striking only one third and are meant to warn and lead a rebellious world to repentance before the final curtain. For now, God spares more than he smites. Now, much of the imagery used here should sound familiar from the Exodus story and the 10 plagues God used against Pharaoh. I hope you are realizing that Revelation is not all new material, but is a review of the entirety of the Bible as God attempts to change the hearts of men to love him, as he had failed in so many cases. So chapter 8 ends with, "And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants.'" There is one woe for each of the remaining three trumpets. This is our final warning. So now we turn to chapter 9. "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth. To him was given the keys of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, nor any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days men will seek death and not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them." Now the shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like the breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and they were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. and they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, or in Greek he has the name Apollon. Our woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these. Then the sixth angel sounded. I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for this hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and those who sat upon them had breastplates of fiery red, jacinthia blue, and sulfur yellow, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. And by these three plagues a third of mankind was killed, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power was in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. They did not repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. So as we begin chapter 9, the fifth angel sounds. The first four seals and trumpets represented judgments directed against the earth. In the first four seals, these were the four horsemen, bringing war, famine, tyranny, and death on the earth. In the first four trumpets, these were the ecological destruction of the vegetation, the seas, the fresh water, and the skies. The last three seals focused upon heaven, the cry of the martyrs, cosmic disturbances, and the heavenly prelude to the seven trumpets. The last three trumpets will speak of hell in terms of the demonic. In verse 1, this star is best seen as an angel, whether he be good or bad, depends on his relation to the angel of the bottomless pit in Revelation 9:11. If the angel of Revelation 9:11 is the same as the angel, if the angel of Revelation 9:1 is the same as the angel of Revelation 9:11, it is an evil angel, perhaps Satan himself. If it is a different angel, it may be a good angel sent by God to open up this bottomless pit for the purpose of judgment. That this star is fallen makes us associate him with Satan or another high-ranking evil angelic being. But the fact that he is given the key to the bottomless pit makes us not want to associate him with Satan. The idea that Satan is the master of hell is foreign to the rest of Scripture. He will be hell's victim, not ruler. At the same time, we notice that the key is given to this being that is given at a specific time and for a specific purpose that furthers God's plan. This angel, evil or good, serves God's purpose, even if he does not intend to. And from the fifth trumpet, we have the pit, the abyss that marks the place of final judgment for those who oppose God. Now, out of this pit comes locusts, and these pests were despised and feared in ancient times because they would destroy crops and the people would starve. But these are obviously not natural locusts. They avoid the plants and attack men like scorpions attack. They are a visual representation of the hordes of demons loosed upon the earth. The idea is simply that as part of the judgment of the Great Tribulation, God will allow demonic hordes previously imprisoned to descend upon the earth like a swarm of destructive locusts. They are not, as some have suggested, heretics, Muslims, Turks, Saracens, Jesuits, monks, or Protestants. Their purpose and period is expressly governed by God. The purpose of all this is to bring repentance. A great exercise at this point would be to read all of the book of Joel and parallel what is written in this book and what we find here. These locusts move like an army, a great and unstoppable army, that the very appearance would fill you with fear and dread. But God limits the time of these demonic creatures to just 5 months, or else it would be unbearable. And going to verse 11, the head is his king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek his name is Apollon. This reinforces that Satan will be this king. The names given in both Greek and Hebrew mean death, death and destruction, or hell and destruction, depending on how they are used. For our purpose, these are simply other names for Satan. To clarify the pure terror of this event, people will desire to die and death will flee from them. Now, many would rather die than to face what is happening, but they will not be allowed. The idea of death as an escape is a demonic deception. It is a great and tragic deception to think, on the day you will sin greatly, that you will go to a better place. For those who deny God and Christ, it will get no better. Then in verse 12, our woe is past, still two more woes are coming. The writer gives us a sort of a bookmark as to where we are in the story, with one of the horrible events past and two more to come. There can be no specific answer to the question of exactly who or what is symbolized by the plague of locusts. All we can know for sure is that in the period immediately before the end, the wicked will be subjected to a time of unprecedented demonic torment. Exactly how this will take place will remain unknown until disclosed by history itself. Now going to verses 13 and 14, the sixth angel sounds. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the trumpet, which is before God, of the altar before God, saying to the sixth angel, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And this is part of a great mystery. The locusts were allowed to torment humanity, but now these four angels are turned loose with a mighty army to kill a third of mankind. These four angels have no necessary connection with the four angels of Revelation 7. They may be the same four, or they may not be. Were they angels of heaven or of Satan? We are not told. But their effect is demonic, if not their person. Whoever they are prepared for the hour and day and month and year of the unleashing of this judgment. These angels were connected with the Euphrates River because the Euphrates was a landmark of ancient Babylon. It was the frontier of Israel's land as fully promised by God in Genesis 15. It was also the boundary of the old Roman Empire, which will be revived under the Antichrist. The Euphrates is also associated with the first sin, as Genesis 2, the first murderer in Genesis 4, the first organized revolt against God in Genesis 11, and the first war of confederation in Genesis 14. The first dictatorship in Genesis 10. This army is of 200 million, so is this number literal or symbolic? It is possible that the number is not to be taken literally, but simply suggests an army that is impossible to count and is greater than anything mankind has ever seen. These horsemen are described in weird, grotesque terms. This is a powerful picture of horror, destruction, and demonic association. Therefore, perhaps the safest interpretation is to not see this as a literal 200 million strong army, but a demonic army invading Earth. This continues the idea of the demonic army like locusts earlier described in this chapter. And we close with, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent. It's amazing to see how quickly things return to what is thought to be normal after some calamity such as an earthquake. We are quick to forget God's lessons, even lessons that come in judgment. I always go back to 9/11/2001, the great national tragedy of that day. The TV news people and newspapers were full of stories of prayer and the seeking of God's aid. They even wore American flags on their lapels, something they had refused to do before. The world suddenly became almost an image of revival. But how long did this last? Just a couple of weeks. The flags came off, the references to God and prayer stopped, and all returned to the perversity and ignoring of God. Having over 3,000 people killed by terrorists had a very limited effect in real life. Maybe the killing of millions would work, but this tells us not. This list of sins is a striking accusation against our own present age. Certainly our modern world is characterized by murders, sorceries, which is associated with drugs, sexual immorality, and thefts. This list is what many can say of today on our new approved list of behavior, acceptable to society. If this list of evil acts is the gauge, we already qualify for what is to come. Now, this should be no surprise for any believer. Yet we must not fear as long as we live in faith with our Lord Jesus. As the demons and locusts came from the abyss, we will soon see that they will return, as will all who either have not yet been called to their Father or those with the mark or not having the mark from God. Do not fear. The chosen of God will avoid all of this. It is your task to be sure that when Christ comes with the clouds and sounds of his trumpet, you will arise to him. So as we approach Easter, the last days of Jesus' earthly life and his resurrection, live so as to be assured of your own coming resurrection. Amen. So let us close with our benediction. Go forth in the name of the Lord, for this is God's charge. We should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. We should love one another just as he commanded us. And may the grace of Christ attend you, the love of God surround you, and the Holy Spirit keep you now and forevermore. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed the message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find a video of this message on our website. This is from Christ Reigns Church, www.crpchurch.com.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the sing the new song. 'Twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell Jesus and his love, to tell the old story of Jesus and his love.